superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Taysom Hill, the starting quarterback today for the New Orleans Saints.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sean Payton has told the Saints that he's stepping away.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who wants to go to New Orleans and take over this team with a terrific defense, but with an open question at quarterback, to say the least? And what a run.
The Rich Eisen Show, earlier on the show. Host of HBO's Back on the Record with Bob Costas. Bob Costas, still to come from the Netflix movie Home Team. Actor Kevin James. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here in Los Angeles, California. My compadre, Christopher Brockman, is all fired up. Big Poppy's a baseball Hall of Famer.
Yeah, buddy.
We talked about it with Bob Costas, who had a great appearance here in hour number one. If you missed it, you've got to go to our YouTube page for many reasons, because one, he had a terrific take on the Hall of Fame and what to do with those involved in the steroid era. And I'm not saying that because he and I have the same idea. We feel the same way about it. He also told a terrific story about interviewing Kobe Bryant as a teenager when Kobe came into the NBA. That's when Bob was part of the NBA on NBC coverage. And then before he left, he got something off his chest about the NFL overtime rules. And doing that, his point about the equivalency, just to point out how absurd it is, he said the equivalent would be in baseball, if the visiting team in extra innings hits a home run, it would end the game.
Game over.
Because the NFL says if you score, you get to be up first, to use a baseball term, and you hit the ultimate jackpot, home run or a touchdown, then the game's over. The other team does not get to respond. Could you imagine if you're the home team and I guess the home team would get to go first in that situation, right?
Well, but, or they flip a coin, maybe.
Or flip a coin, right? Then, there you go. Flip a coin. Who gets to go first?
Who gets to go first?
Second, right?
Back to the same
point. And so he basically said, hey, you know, as opposed to scoring with a sacrifice fly or a single, you hit a home run, it would be over. Sacrifice fly or single, the other team would get a chance to respond.
Like,
and he said how absurd that is. Brockman got in my ear saying, I kind of like that idea, which I just didn't say, and Bob kept talking. But then when Bob was done and he was getting set to say goodbye, you said, I actually don't, yeah. I kind of like that.
Not a bad idea.
And then Bob Costas' response was this.
Oh, shut up.
There you go. We have a new drop.
Very aggressive.
It's Bob Costas telling Brockman to
shut up.
Oh, shut up is what he said.
Oh, shut up.
And the other sound you hear is me laughing like a hyena.
Pretty funny.
In the background. So you got to go to our YouTube page, is basically what I'm saying. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show.
So bottom of the ninth ends. We're going to extra innings. Then what? Like Joe West like waddles out and flip a coin at home plate?
Yeah, it's pretty much.
Oh, shut up.
And then you get the option, right? You're like, I want to stay the home team. Or I want to go first because we got 3, 4, 5 coming up, and I think one of them can hit a home run.
I'm just wondering what is my more favorite moment in the past week of this program? Costas telling you to shut up, or TJ once, man. Jay Felly took my side in an argument against TJ, said, when can we go back to the time where you didn't say as much?
What was it?
Which
so
is truly,
when you didn't
TJ,
talk
I got to say, yeah, is that what it's, let's go back to when you didn't talk as much. That's what you said.
That was that it.
I mean, that really is, that's your pinnacle. That's your zenith on
that's
this
it.
Program. Yeah, I'm not saying you can't top it, but that's,
but I've reached the,
that's the clubhouse the leader peak. Of TJ Jefferson lines here.
And you know, I love Feller, and I didn't mean anything mean by it. I've always been like the one telling Feller to like, hey man, talk if you have something to say. He was always a little like hesitant.
Yes.
So I thought he'd always have my side. And then he just kept piling in on me. And I was just like, yo, wait a second.
Shut up.
It's also nice. It's a side. It's also a side of you that we see off the air that Rich Eisen Show consumers might not see.
I try to be professional.
Hear. No, seriously. It's a side of you, you know. And, you know, I'll use this to transition. That's kind of what we saw with Sean Payton in his farewell press conference. For those who have gotten to know Sean Payton, okay, and I've been around Sean Payton since, you know, he started in 2006 as the head coach of the Saints. NFL Network started in 2003. And, you know, I've been out, you know, back in the day, Sean Payton would, at the combine, I've ridden a mechanical bull at 2 a.m. in Indianapolis, Indiana with this man. I don't care who knows it.
Is that in the home team movie coming up?
I don't think so. This is after that.
Oh, okay. More residuals for Rich.
Yes. So Sean Payton arrived on the set after winning the Super Bowl in Miami. We're doing the show on the field. Marshall Faulk is his guy. Do you know he was Marshall Faulk's position coach at San Diego State?
Really?
Yes. Wow. He was a running backs coach at San Diego State. Marshall and he go way back. And, of course, Marshall's a New Orleanian. So Marshall will tell the story all the time. You got to get him to tell this because the Thursday after the Super Bowl, Susie's sitting here in this chair. And Marshall sitting in that chair for all 3 hours, kind of breaking news to you guys. Okay. And got to get Marshall to tell the story of selling popcorn in the Superdome as a kid. Marshall Faulk once, if you were back in his day, whatever year that would be, you might have actually bought popcorn from Marshall Faulk in the Superdome. But he came on the set and he was so excited to see Marshall, but he's so jacked up. He just won the Super Bowl. And I was the first to greet him because I was on the end of the set and he was making his way towards Marshall. And he kind of slapped my hand. I extended it for a handshake. He didn't come and grab it and shake it. He slapped it, sort of a swim move to get to Marshall, who was to my left. So he came up from the set and he slapped it so hard. Sort of like, you know, how Mike White couldn't finish that game in Indianapolis this year because he hit his arm on a helmet and it went numb just until the time when the Jets had lost and he could come back in and it was too late. That's it. I did the entire interview. My right arm from the elbow down was numb. I didn't feel it. He hit me so damn hard. He's an intense guy and he's a guy that if you get to meet off camera is just a blast. You even got to see part of that in our Super Bowl in Houston where he told the story about one time we rolled the wrong B-roll on NFL Network. It's Saints, it's Seahawks for a playoff game. We're taking the kickoff of that game. It was way before. And we showed video of Breeze warming up in Seattle. And it was Breeze warming up in Seattle from the game that they were there previous. We were just using that B-roll to make a point. Marshall was making that point. And he sends me and Marshall a text saying, what the hell? Like, is Breeze at the game? Like, what's going on? Like, he called up his assistant saying, what time are the buses leaving? Did the buses already leave? I'm supposed to be on the first bus. What the hell? And they're like, no, the buses, like, coach, we're not leaving for another hour. He goes, what the hell is Breeze doing at the game? And we kind of got him, you know, and he's sitting there he said he was eating his pancakes in his hotel room. Kind of got him all, you know.
It's like when you wake up and you think you're late for work or something.
That happened to me just a few.
You didn't think you were late.
You feel out of body. You're freaking out. You're freaking out, right?
Yeah.
But so that's the Sean Payton that anybody who's gotten to cover him and gotten to know him, that's the guy who just happens to be, you know, somebody who took the Saints to the Super Bowl and won it and is now, you know, the king of New Orleans for the rest of his life because of it. So when he had his press conference yesterday and he showed up and he's just like, you know, we're going to be here a while. It's him. It's genuine. Like he's into the moment. And, you know, I know so much is going to be made about his decision. And we'll get to that in a second. But the Sean Payton you saw at the press conference that I think he finally stopped talking 2 minutes ago, right? Is that just finally happened?
Just finished.
You know, he's handing out baked goods like Ted Lasso, and then he's just going off the top of his head, and then he's answering questions. It was a heck of a farewell press conference. Here's some of the highlights.
I don't know what's next. And look, I read the reports, and I understand. I've not spoken to anyone from a media outlet relative to doing television or radio. Maybe that opportunity arises, but every time I read something that says, like, he's in line for this job, I'll call my agent, Don, and I'll say, Don, did you hear something? Because I've not heard anything. And that's okay. I think I'd like to do that. I think I'd be pretty good at it. But so stepping outside, like in the cold weather today, and being a little uncomfortable professionally or from a career standpoint is okay. I don't like the word retirement. Mr. B didn't like it either. He always said, you know, retirement's overrated. We get sold this whole image of retirement by these investment groups on TV and golf courses and retirement. I still have a vision for doing things in football. And I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now. It's not at all.
Tons of nuggets dropped there. You know, and it sounds like he wants to do TV for a bit, and then he wants to go back to coaching. And, you know, Glazer, who knows him better than anybody else, said he's been thinking about this for a while. It's a grind, man. It is a grind. You know, it is a grind, but it's a grind that coaches have trouble getting out of. Trouble getting out of because they miss it, and he'll miss it. He's going to go back to coaching, and I know what's being said out there, and there may be some truth to it, that you look around and the grind is real, and he's thinking about getting out of the grind, and his Hall of Fame quarterback's not there anymore, and he might look and say, I don't really want to go through the grind to try and grind out enough wins to get bounced as the seventh seed. Which is what would have happened this year if the Rams had eliminated the 49ers when they could have. Maybe that's what he's thinking. Again, I haven't spoken to him. But the conversation was that he's been reached out to by a television group to do play-by-play, to be an analyst in the booth. And you could hear right there what he said. He said that I haven't spoken to him just yet. But what he said was, no question, call my agent. Yeah. No doubt. I'd like to try it. I think I'd be pretty good at it. And you know who's going to fall all over themselves? Everybody. To go get him. And then once those batteries are recharged, I mean, Arians went to the booth and he was not very good at it because he couldn't curse, you know? Now, that would have been great to hear Arians be totally Bruce Arians in the booth.
Right.
But, and then he went back to it, and now, you know, he's won a Super Bowl. And you could hear it already. Know this, Cowboys fans, and I just direct you, Cowboys fans, not you in particular, TJ, mm-hmm. but to all Cowboys fans out there that are thinking this, you're going to have to compensate the Saints when he goes back to coaching, because it sure sounds like he's going to. When he goes back to coaching, you got to compensate him if he's going to come back anytime between right now and 3 years from now. You got to compensate the Saints. You're going to have to give up a first-round pick for him. That's a fact. This guy's a Super Bowl-winning coach who, despite the reason why Kevin James is coming on the air in hour number three about a movie about him having to take a year off because of Bountygate, you know, the guy wins another Super Bowl. We're going to be talking about a jacket and a bust for him, and then we'll talk about whether, you know, how much we talk about his sabbatical or not. But his winning record is without dispute, and turn the Saints around and turn them into a completely different organization and a completely different sense about their abilities to win. Before him, it was Jim Mora, Jim Haslett, and a whole bunch of paper bags, man.
That's true.
That's a fact.
The eights.
So,
Hey, Rich, put some respect on Bobby Hebert's name.
I got you. Even Marshall Faulk, Mr. Superdome, get your popcorn ready, was selling popcorn. He's the one who said that the Ravens turned Justin Herbert into Justin Hebert.
Hebert.
Turn Herbert into a bear is what he said. Look, so you're going to have to, he's not going to just be able to walk through your door over the next 3 years. But he did use the words like, I don't think it's this year. Is it possible the guy like takes some time off and he's just like, you know what, now's the time. Nobody's going to upend their coaching in the middle of the summer. That doesn't make sense. So it makes sense that this year he takes it off and he's fine. Like today, could you imagine? Today, he's not worried. He's not talking about free agency and what free agency and cap and getting ready for the Senior Bowl and getting grinding that tape. He just can wake up and go, where can I go that's warm? You know, all the disposable income that he has amassed in his tremendous career. I can't imagine what he must be thinking today.
Endless possibilities.
You know? So... That's my two cents on Sean Payton and Sean, where's my king cake? You know?
Yeah, right. That looked delicious.
Brockman,
he said he gave it to all the meat. Did he really give king cakes to everyone?
He said
in the
he brought 100.
Brought 100. Yeah.
Come on. What gives?
When you say Sean Payton is in a very great position this morning.
Gosh, all he has to do is wait for Mike McCarthy to screw up next year, and he's going to be the Cowboys coach.
Well, I mean, again, he is. Let's not forget. I mean, he's giving up 3 years and what, $45 million of a contract. And if I'm him, I'm sitting there thinking, if I want to go back to coaching, I'll make, you know, I might not make the 2022 money back, but everything else I'll make back.
Yeah,
and sure. It's worth, like, if he can do this, age. You know, what is he, 58?
He's 58.
Still relatively young.
Right? I mean,
young, yeah.
My gosh, take a year off, smell the roses, try TV. You got your feet still in the NFL game. You know, and then the phone. I mean, again, Tony Dungy got phone calls this year, he said.
And he hasn't coached in 12 years.
Yeah. The last time Sean Payton won the Super Bowl. 2009.
Oh, it's a genius move. Take a year off, do the TV thing, and then look, we saw there's 9 openings this year. There's going to be at least 5-6 openings. He's going to have his pick of where to coach in 2023.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to take some phone calls. Everybody's waiting to chat with us, and so we will do that. And then Chris Brockman has a list right there of spots for Aaron Rodgers to go. That we think would turn those teams potentially into Super Bowl contenders, if not Super Bowl winners. And so you've got 5, and I'm going to rank them. Is that the way it goes?
We got 5 all in the AFC, and we're going to rank them.
Okay, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Phone calls when we come back. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
On the Rich Eisen Show. What?
I just showing, didn't we have a similar situation where, like, when we did it, when we finally put me on the YouTube banner and somebody was complaining? Was it you, Brockman, complaining that I was too tall for
you
the
were huge. You looked like Andre the Giant on that thing.
Yeah, it was Brockman who got mad because
and then Del
I was so tall.
Looked like a small Italian man.
Looked,
like he looked like Fauci.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? I mean, the shoe fits.
I mean, but I'm 6'3", and Mike's what, 5'9"?
Yeah, but you were inordinately larger than most.
Really big.
So anyway. But Sean Mitchell, who puts that together, he understands what I'm saying. Promo department people, and I just want to know, like, are there executives who see that and go, we got to put that person in the middle. We got to put that person over here.
So you're saying, like, that wasn't just like randomly put together.
Excuse
Rich.
Me. When you're sitting at a table, okay, at a party, the first thing you do is what? You look who you're sitting next to.
If there's name tags, yeah.
Larry David talked about, you know, middle being in the middle. Like, you've got, like, it's, if you're put in the middle of a dinner party,
you got to hold it down, right?
You have to.
Yeah.
You got a direct conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, you lead and direct.
Right. So when there are promo department people in the sports world putting together on-air full-screen promos for shows, there's a pecking order where you are. And again, for NBC Sports on Peacock, Dan and Florio have shoulder on me.
Yeah, but Florio looks like a child.
Well, he's usually sitting. He's got the unfortunate problem of they took him sitting.
Right.
He
looks much smaller. He looks like if you and Dan had a kid, it'd be Mike Florio.
Is that what that looks like?
That's what it looked like in that.
I mean, careful. Florio's got a hell of a platform to address this subject matter. Dan as well. Dan's above the fray because you know why? He's front and center, and he's got shoulder on everybody. He's got shoulder. That's the power in these promo shots. He's got shoulder.
He's older.
Oh, please.
Yeah, he's got tenure.
You know what? He has got on his side the platform, the stature, and the shoulder.
Oh, Rich, I'll jump into this with you. They didn't even, like, put us in the order that the shows air. Like, that would make sense, right? If you would have, I'm gonna take Rich's side here. If they would have put Florio, you know, then Dan, then us, then brother. But that wasn't even, like, the way they put everyone in the
air.
Well,
actually,
had Mike last.
Yeah, isn't Florio last?
He's also first.
Well, Florio's
he's
first also and first. Last.
Okay. Okay. The flauta. Right. Yeah, the flauta.
Right.
True, I forgot about
it. It goes
that.
Brother from another. Dan, me, and then Florio and Sims. So on the NBC Sports on Peacock schedule,
flip those.
You know, if you do not have, if it's the year, if it's, I mean, it does go a little bit out. I was kind of saying if it was Hebrew, right to left.
Oh, I see.
You know,
I see.
But even that doesn't work. Because I'd imagine if it was Hebrew, right to left, I would be first.
But you're the only member of the tribe.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be first.
Lineup.
Correct.
Right, respect. Respect.
But I also don't want to be on the edge. You want to be on the edge. You want to be in the middle.
Don't want to be on the edge.
You want to be in the middle, and you want to have shoulder on everybody. You want to have shoulder.
But behind, you're in a good spot, though, too, because you're kind of overseeing.
Okay. I think I've made my point.
Which is what?
I don't know. I want shoulder, is what I'm saying.
Did you see how big Calais Campbell was?
I know. They put him above Daniel Jeremiah.
He's also, I mean, he is a giant.
He is.
Like,
that's life size, though.
He's much bigger compared to everyone else.
That's the way it is.
That's like when we took that picture of Jonathan Ogden at Ed Reed's Hall of Fame party.
Oh, my God.
It's like, yo, this
largest
dude.
Human ever.
Just tower.
Let's take some phone calls here. John in Chicago, you are here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
Bob Costas has some great points there. And you guys, I've been waiting on hold for so long.
Sure.
You guys have talked about
No, go
topic,
for it. Please. It's a new audience. Go for it. Hit it.
All right. Well, with football, I totally agree that the overtime's got to get fixed. I'm a Kansas City fan and was glad to see him win, but it's got to be fair. I mean, can you imagine the NBA Finals where they flip a coin, Reggie Miller gets the ball, drains a three and wins, and Jordan doesn't even get to touch the ball. I mean, that would be insane. But about the baseball, I totally agree with your points about these players should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
With an asterisk. That's a great point. Now, I think it depends on how you look at this, and Costas informed me kind of, you know, how the Hall of Fame works and who, you know, writes it. You know, they're the baseball purists. But, you know, I'm 50. My dad's era, they're the guys that care about this, but they're 75 years old. Today's people with the internet, and, I mean, my kids play baseball, but they don't care about the Hall of Fame or, you know, that kind of stuff. So the fact that these guys hit those home runs, they should be in there. Now, there's a tremendous amount of hypocrisy by Major League Baseball. They knew what was going on in the steroid era. Absolutely. And they let it go on because they wanted the ratings. Now, look at what everybody knew at the time. We knew what was going on. We knew they were all juiced up. Just like we knew Lance Armstrong, you know, was playing in a sport that is ripe with steroids and dirtiness. But it doesn't change the fact that he won those Tour de France's. Or, you know, these guys hit those home runs. So, you know, you can't turn back the clock and undo that stuff.
I agree. You can't unring the bell. And it. Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate you hanging on for as long as you did to make that call and make your points. I think the reason why kids don't care about the Hall of Fame is because, first of all, you know, their whole life's ahead of them. And as you get older, you get the sense of how important it is to remember an accomplishment, you know, and how, you know, meaningful it is to be remembered forevermore. Because, you know, when you're I don't want to get all, you know, rust coal on you, but time being a flat circle. But, you know, but when kids wind up seeing the people that they are lionizing as a kid play baseball or any sport, you want to, when they go into the Hall of Fame, when it's time for that to be remembered, it's kind of enshrines your feelings as well, you know? So I think that, you know, at some point, you know, a kid who doesn't care about this stuff now will. And there's a bunch of people who saw the steroid era. And what are we going to do? Just erase it? Because as Bob said, in the same way that people were caught, there were people that didn't get caught and got in. What are those people thinking about today? Knowing they took it. Right? Mm-hmm. Knowing they took it. And so that's why I'm saying it just in terms of an asterisk. I'm talking about just the words in the steroid era. Four words. Somewhere on Bonds's plaque broke the record for most home runs in a career while playing in the steroid era. Mark McGwire broke Roger Maris's record while playing in the steroid era. Sammy Sosa had X number of home runs in the steroid era. Figure out when the steroid era would start. Right? I don't know. And who's the one to decide all that? Somebody in the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum should do that. And I kind of felt silly when I said to Bob during our conversation with Bob Costas in hour one, like, so who would be the one? Let's streamline. Let's do the mechanics of it, because, you know, that's the way I want to do it. I don't just want to say it and just not go walk through, like, how would this happen? Whose decision would it have to be? On what flowchart does this decision take place? That I said, does baseball call somebody up when they're through with the lockout and deal with it? I felt silly doing that, because you know who doesn't have a say in what goes on at the Pro Football Hall of Fame? The NFL. Now, there are NFL figures on the board, but there's more people on the board than just NFL figures. So baseball could lean on somebody. The NFL could lean on somebody, too, if they feel strong about something. And, you know, you might feel pressured to do it. But the NFL does not run the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I don't know who does it, but in the steroid era, put it on the plaque and put them in the room. Make the argument about language, not about whether somebody's in the plaque room. Let's go to Ben in Mississippi. What's up, Ben?
Richie, Rich, and crew, how are things, my man?
How you been?
What's up, brother? So I believe I have a reasonable solution to the overtime rule.
Okay.
Let's call it the double jeopardy overtime rule. And let's use Kansas City and Buffalo as our template because it's more visible. You can kind of visualize it better. So both teams get a push. Let's say it goes down, gets the.
All right, put him back on hold for a second. Because I really want to hear his take, but you know his phone's going out. But we'll give him another chance in the same way that Josh Allen didn't, right? Let's go to – what do you think we should do here? Let's go to John in New York. John in New York, what's up, John?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
What's going on, brother?
So I've got an overtime proposal that I haven't seen anywhere else. So – I'm with Bob Costas. I hate the overtime rules. I've always hated them. But a lot of these weirdo solutions that kind of resemble college, that don't have all three phases of the game, you know, where it's like the NHL shootout for football, I hate all those too.
Me too. Okay, so what do you got?
Okay, so what I'd like to do is put in place a system where you know who's going to get the ball in overtime before you get to overtime. So there's no coin toss. So that way you can play the end of the fourth quarter with that knowledge, right? Now, how you tie that, who gets the ball, is that can be discussed, right? Either it's always the home team or it's tied to who gets the first half kickoff some way. But then at the end of the game, you can make decisions based on that, right? It's like you're down seven. Excuse me. You know the other team's going to get the ball. So you score, you're going to go for two. Or – you know, will be the other example.
Okay.
Well, let's use like the Chiefs game, right?
So terrible.
The Chiefs knew the Bills were going to get the ball in overtime. Now, they didn't have a lot of time. They only had 13 seconds. But let's say they had more time.
Yeah, no. They had no choice but to tie, right? But
yeah,
you're saying
more time.
In the same way that a team with 6 minutes left on the clock knows that they need to score because the other one, if they get the ball back, can score on either side of halftime. They can adjust their strategy in the second quarter because they've already known prior to the game who gets the ball first in the second half. But still, so you've caused me to ask a follow-up question, John, which is better than most. Okay, so how are we determining who gets the ball first in overtime? It's what, like a. It's still, if it's still something random, that's a problem. There's nothing, and if it's worse than a 50-50 random proposition, that makes it worse. And you're saying what the home team gets, which really is not very fair, you know?
Well,
so
anything's more fair than a coin flip because the coin flip, you take the coin flip away, now you can make your decisions in game. You can make those decisions in the fourth quarter, which is going to reduce the number of overtime games also, right? It's like, okay.
Well, what about this? Hold on a second. What about this? The coin toss still exists when you start. If you defer, you are giving the ball to the other team to start the first quarter and also overtime.
Yeah.
So now with more teams, now you're making a decision here that deferring means you're not only playing for the ball to start the second half, which a lot of teams kind of dig, but the benefit of putting the other team out there first is now enhanced for the other team by you get the ball first in overtime. That's now predetermined. We're not flipping a coin again.
Exactly. I mean, like I said, there can be a lot of discussion over how, but to me, the core of it is get rid of the overtime coin toss, know who's going to get it before you get to overtime.
Thank you for the call, John.
Yeah, I was going to go the other way.
Okay.
If you win the coin toss, you have the decision in overtime as well.
No, because you need to make that decision to start the game. You need to make that decision. Like, so, all right, here, let's linger here a little bit because I think there's a little bit something here. So, how many teams defer? A lot of teams defer, right? Because
every team defers.
Don't you think, right? I mean.
Generally, you don't see a team, we win the toss, we're going to take the ball.
Well,
That's very rare now.
I think it's very rare, but sometimes you want to score first, right? You don't want to put the opposing, if your offense is, if you're going against a juggernaut offense, you want to go first. You want to score first. You don't want to put their best unit on the field first, right? And there are some, you know, benefits to going out there first. But instead, if you defer, if there are teams that you say most teams defer, you're now forfeiting the right to start the game in overtime if it goes to it. I kind of like that. And I kind of like that you know beforehand who's done it. And you've made the decision. You've made the decision. You're the one who made the decision, most likely. Or,
and they get it at halftime, right?
They get it at halftime, but they don't get it on the to start the game or to start overtime.
Right.
Okay. If you take the ball first, you get it first, and if the game goes into overtime. But the other team gets it to start the second half.
Yeah, so we're going to see every team now take the ball.
Or not. Screw it. What are the odds this game's going to overtime? How many games go to overtime?
There were about 20 this year.
Out of?
Only 20 out of 272.
I kind of like the idea that you know beforehand.
Yeah, I like that.
You made the decision not to take it first.
Right.
But you did get it to start the second half, and you did score on both sides of halftime. That's a benefit.
Not bad. I like that. Good idea.
I kind of like that.
Can we work this up the flow chart?
Well, as you know, we've got a platform, and I've got a dream.
RES Consulting.
I do agree with you. You do deserve to be on the competition committee.
Dude, right?
I agree with you.
Excuse me. Let me just ask one more time in a different tone. Right?
I'm not being, glib there. You deserve to be on the competition committee.
I did get rid of the tuck rule and help the catch rule. These are facts. That will be in my PowerPoint to the annual meeting membership, my correlation between my role in what I do with and for the league. And how well divisional playoff weekend was played. It is my doing.
Ben says he's good to go now. He sent us a DM.
All right. Did he really?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll chat to Ben. We'll chat with Ben. Still to come is our Aaron Rodgers take and where are good places for him to wind up. And then, by the way, there's some conversations going on. It is Championship Sunday, Wednesday. What do I mean by that? We'll describe what that means when we come back in a moment.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You got that going for you.
But overtime percentages are very small.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, so. Navy Federal Credit Union. I had a great chat with the good folks at Navy Federal Credit Union.
How'd it go?
Yeah, it was great, man. It's funny. No, I'm serious. It was great because I don't want you to find that so funny. It's true. It was great talking to them. You know, all members of the armed forces, doesn't have to just be the Navy, can avail themselves of the Navy Federal Credit Union and what they're up to. And what they're up to is to make sure that if your holidays got too expensive, let Navy Federal Credit Union help you take control of your finances after the holidays. You can get a low intro APR on their Platinum credit card. It's their lowest rate card. It's a great tool to pay down debt. Beyond the holidays, Navy Federal even has multiple savings and investing options to help you get closer to your financial goals. They offer digital tools and educational resources to help guide your decisions. With Navy Federal, you can automate your saving and investing to put your money to work for you, even as you sleep. Plus, you can buy fractional shares. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Message and data rates may apply. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment options are available through Navy Federal Investment Services and are not insured by NCUA. So, it's Championship Week Wednesday. The first ever instance of the NFL Network creating programming out of something that nobody ever thought could make programming light up and say, we got to put this on TV. Mm-hmm. So it was the first championship week we were ever covering. And all teams of Championship Sunday put out their coach and star players to be interviewed on the Wednesday before. You know, a lot of quarterbacks speak on Wednesday. I think Brady on occasion speaks Thursday. That's the way it goes, the cadence. So the top players right here on Wednesday. And we're like, okay, so if we can stagger it, so one team goes between this time and that time, and then the next team goes between this time and that time, that they don't all go at once, that they actually hit a window, we can stay on the air on NFL Network for hours at a time and take you to the press conferences. And in between the press conferences, have analysts to talk about the games and what we just heard and do it. Like, we made a 4 or 5 hour show out of it. That was the first thing we ever did. Well, maybe a lot of people are like, oh, okay, so we can talk about the sport in the middle of a week of a season. I'm telling you, what so many people think now makes total sense. When we first started NFL Network, so many people are like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I remember
hearing. They were like, what are you doing? And what are you going to do when the games aren't played?
Yeah. What are you going to talk about?
I know. It's like, what are you going to talk about? One of my last Sports Center meetings in, you know, I left in May of 2003. It was right around like late March, early April 2003, and we're in a Sports Center Ideas meeting. Somebody said, let's talk about like the best cornerbacks that are on the free agent market right now and like list them one through third, most cornerback needy teams. I mean, it was very arcane thought, but I was like, no, what are you doing that for? Like, baseball's about to start. It's March Madness. What are you talking about? Laughed out of the room. Now ESPN has multiple live NFL shows per day.
Every day.
At any rate. So, the Bengals just finished their media availability for championship week. Well done. And in the middle of all that, I guess that's one way to do it. New York media markets is screw it. Guess we don't care about Bengals and everybody else. Championship Sunday. They introduced Joe Shane, their new general manager, the New York Giants did. And John Mara, one of the owners of the Giants, got up to the podium and was asked if there was a future for Daniel Jones, and he had a response about that. And it also led to a conversation if the Giants might go ahead and acquire, put their hat in the ring for Deshaun Watson. This is what John Mara had to say.
We're not trading for Deshaun Watson.
John,
why not?
Last
why
one.
Not? Why not, John? Yeah. Sorry, I mean, it warrants a follow-up. Sorry, John. Yeah, there's so many reasons why we wouldn't do that. I mean, cap-wise, we couldn't afford it, but more importantly, with the allegations that are out there right now, that's just not the right fit for us.
In case, for those who might want to wonder, because you're listening on Sirius XM or Odyssey or this terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have the Rich Eisen show, the look that John Mara gave to the reporter asking the question, the body language after that, and then when the follow-up question of why not, the look that he gave this reporter was similar to the look the President of the United States gave to Peter Doocy the other day with a live microphone in front of him. Okay. In case you're wondering. Giants aren't going to acquire somebody with all of those allegations. So basically is what he said. Cap problems, too. He's not coming to the Giants. John Mara did have a very straightforward answer about whether Daniel Jones is their guy. The answer was yes, and he took responsibility. Quote, we've done everything possible to screw this kid up since he's been here. We certainly have not given up on Daniel Jones.
Can't really argue with that. It hasn't been easy for Danny.
We've done everything possible.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? That is bingo.
That's accountability for you, right?
And that's the thing, too. If the Giants are going to bring the Bills program in, because they've had two interviews with Brian Daboll, right? And they've had an interview with Leslie Frazier as well. If they're going to bring the Bills program in here, Daniel Jones can run it and throw it too, folks.
Yeah, he can.
Now, obviously, Josh Allen, as I've mentioned here daily, is the man. I mean, like, it's obvious now he has placed himself on the perch of best in the league argument of best in the league, best of his generation. He has now placed himself in that argument, the way that he has ascended year after year after year. The fact that he didn't make the championship round this year just leaves the fact that he could take multiple steps forward next year, and I believe it. So Jones can throw it and run it too. He's not as, you know, thick as Allen. Like, he's not delivering the blow at the end of the run like Allen. But if you bring the Bills ideas down here and schemes and concepts, just got a block for him. The line has been terrible. Another one of the reasons why the Giants have screwed it up and changed coaches and changed offensive coordinators mid-season on him and then left him broken and battered.
And their big money guys need to stay healthy.
They do too.
It doesn't
man.
Help that Kenny Golladay.
You don't sign Kenny Golladay when you can't protect up front to begin with. That's how you screw it up too.
True, but
that's
you also
how
need
you
to
screw
get,
it up
you
too.
Get your quarterback weapons.
But you don't go out and spend all that money on Kenny Golladay if you know it's going to be tough to protect him. What are you thinking? Yeah. Just hoping against hope these guys can unsieve themselves?
I mean,
come on.
Bengals rolled the dice. Worked out for them.
So I guess I could see your point.
You know, that's all we talked about in the draft was like, hey, Joe Burrow got killed last year. Why aren't they drafting more linemen? You know, they're going to take Ja'Marr Chase.
That's an excellent counterpoint there, but maybe that's the outlier.
Yeah.
And Jones clearly isn't Burrow. I mean,
no,
I don't know how many people are.
Clearly not.
But if you're the Giants, I would definitely stick with Daniel Jones rather than bring in Deshaun Watson with everything else that's going on. And it's expensive.
Well,
all you got to do is pick up Jones's fifth-year option if that's what you want to do. You don't even have to do that.
Yeah.
You got him.
Obviously, to get Deshaun Watson, you'd have to give up number 5 and number 7, which you definitely don't want to do.
And Daboll getting his second interview there, that wouldn't be the bad move.
I think
that wouldn't be the bad move because there was a Roman Oban, former NFL Roman player, who's now in the NFL front office. He tweeted out yesterday something that hit in my timeline. Daboll, this apparently happened in training camp. To tell everybody that, you know, you're all on equal footing and don't forget where you come from and use that to your advantage. He had the coaches and the players in the room, Daboll, addressing everybody. And he asked all coaches, if you've been fired or let go, you know, however you want, not renewed, sit down. Every coach in the room sat down, including, I guess, the head coach. You know, he got fired by Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Then he said to all the players, he goes, every player that has not been traded or cut, sit down. And every player sat down, including Trubisky, who I guess was not renewed but considered himself, you know, let go. He sat down. The only person standing was Josh Allen.
Wow.
And then he asks Josh Allen, he goes, how many offers out of high school did you get? And Allen goes, 0. And Daboll's like, don't forget where you come from, everybody. Mm-hmm. And I get goosebumps just even recounting that story.
That's awesome.
I put that out there, and I got all these Giants fans saying, that's my guy.
That's cool.
Maybe he is. Hour 3, Kevin James coming up.